But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Well, God bless you today. This is Steve Clark, and I was reading from Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9, and I was very blessed to be able to read a little booklet, and it's called Christ, the Most Excellent Standard. And it was actually a message that was preached in South Dakota by Brother Denny Keniston years ago, 2003, I think it was. And then it was transcribed into a little booklet in 2006. It's called Christ, the Most Excellent Standard. And I think it would be very profitable. I think it would be very good for us to, for me to read this. And I hope I can read it with enough expression and with enough, sometimes when you're reading it, it's kind of boring. And usually for the daily inspiration, I don't just read something. But I thought this was so good. And I could, you know, kind of go through it and talk about it myself, but he just says it so well, and it's written, it's put down here so well, that I'm just going to try this and just see, just to be able to read this little booklet, and I think we can easily get through it in the next, today, in the next 6 days. So it's called Christ, the Most Excellent Standard, and I hope, you know, because some of it is just, you know, I'll be reading through the booklet, and some of it he's quoting the scriptures, and then he adds his own comments in between, and of course on the written page you can see it because it's in italics where the scriptures are, and then his own comments are in between, and I'll try to make that distinctive, I guess. But this is the standard. This is what we want as a Christian, is to be like Jesus Christ. And after I got done reading this book, I just fell on my knees and I just said, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like him, and I hope that's the case for all of us, that we would be able to go through this and be like, want to be like Jesus. So here it is, Christ, the Most Excellent Standard. He starts off, he says, God, what does it mean for a Christian who's been a Christian for 30 years to forsake all and follow Jesus? That's a good question for us older Christians. It's not only for the new believers to forsake all and follow Jesus. It's not something that you do once and then it's smooth sailing from there on. This thing never ends, brothers and sisters. Christ, the Most Excellent Standard. That's who he is. He is the standard. Now, I quickly say I do believe in standards. I believe the Word of God. I believe in living a holy life. I believe in taking this Bible literally and living it out in a practical way in my life. I believe in standards, but Christ is the most excellent standard. All those other things find their place somewhere below the glorious person of Jesus Christ. What it means to win Christ. Paul said those words. We find them in our text. But what does it mean to win Christ? Paul had Christ. He knew Christ. He met Christ on the road to Damascus. So what does he mean when he says that I may win Christ? Some people like to divide the Bible into dispensations and say the Gospels were for Jesus in his day. But now we're in the epistles. And the following verses beautifully tie the teachings of the Apostle Paul in the epistles with the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels. They do tie together. There is no separation. The apostles, or the Gospels, are a beautiful revelation of what Christ gave when he walked upon this earth. And when he, Jesus, had called the people unto him, with the disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? that statement was made in the context of losing your life while you're trying to find it. And in losing that life, finding true life, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall he give in exchange for his soul? That verse is not only for the lost person, that's for every single one of us. What shall it profit us, brethren, if we gain the whole world and lose our own soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. The light of the body is the eye of the heart and the eye of the head. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, or anything other than single, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? If that light that is in thee be religion, and religion is darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Christ, the most excellent standard. We find in Philippians 3 the words of the Apostle Paul, who had a single eye. He is a beautiful example of a man of like passions as you and I, who had a single eye all the days of his Christian life. Paul is warning in verse 2, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. Paul is talking about religion in that verse. He's speaking about the religious Judaizers who are going along behind him from church to church, trying to convince the believers that it's Christ plus circumcision, plus the laws of Moses, and plus all the things in the law of Moses. Oh yes, Christ is great, Christ is fine, yes, Christ is Messiah, but is Christ the Messiah plus? Paul called them dogs, evil workers, and the concision. Very interesting, isn't it? But the true disciple of Christ, he defines in the next verse, for we are the circumcision. We've had our hearts circumcised. We worship God in the Spirit. We rejoice in only one thing, Christ Jesus. We have no confidence in the flesh. That's what a Christian is. We are the circumcision. Paul then makes this statement, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul is saying, if all of you other people think you have a reason to put confidence in your flesh, I have more reason to put confidence in my flesh than you have to put in yours. But notice again that the list which Paul gives as an example that he is more tempted to trust in the flesh than they are is a list of religion. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, there's his heritage. And Hebrew of the Hebrews, trying with everything I can to be everything a Hebrew is supposed to be. As touching the law of Pharisee, that's the most zealous of the Hebrews. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. Now those are all religious things, because many of us come from a religious background. We are prone to slip into religion instead of a vital reality, instead of the vital reality of Christ in our life. It's good for us to know that it's easy to slip into religion and put our confidence in those things because of something we know already, because of things we've learned, because we know what to do, we know what to say, and we know how to act. It can all be just religion. There's a temptation there, and we want to stay away from it. We want Christ, only Christ. But what things were gained to me, that is, he was seeking his own life. He was trying to have it all together. What things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. I've chosen to lose my life for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. That I may win Christ. Notice that phrase. The man who is making that statement has been a Christian for about 20 years. Yet listen to his words. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He's 20 years down the Christian road, and all he wants to do is win Christ. What do you mean, you want to win Christ, Paul? You have Christ. We're going to see that this is something you don't ever attain to. This is lifelong Christianity. This thing never goes away. This thing becomes the passion of your heart and your life. And if it's not, you've lost your way. I don't care where you go to church. I don't care what good sermons you may hear. If it's not the passion of your heart, you've lost your way. Okay, well, I'm going to stop with that, stop in the reading anyway, and just say a few things that this was so encouraging to me. I know that we can lose our way. We can not see Jesus Christ the way that we should, and this, I believe, will be a real encouragement if you continue to listen these next 6 days, and we're going to, as we go through this. So God bless you today. Thank you for calling in. I just pray that you would have a wonderful day. This is the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, and just pray that your day would go well. Let's just pray. Father, I do thank you for those who called in today. Just pray that you would bless them and encourage them and give them just a real revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord. I ask your blessing now. In Jesus' name, amen.